Wine Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Wine Down Mondays. Yay.
Woo. Favorite day.
My crew. Woo. Got Easton, we got Jen, we got Michael in the house today. How was your weekend?
It was fantastic. I went away for a couple days. I took Rocco to the beach.
Ooh, because the heat wave in LA has been insane.
So we went to Newport Beach, went to the tide pools, swam in the pool.
Did your boyfriend go with you?
He did, and his 13-year-old daughter.
Aww.
So it was really fun, and let me tell you, a whole new experience trying to keep a 13-year-old and a 6-year-old entertained.
Really?
Those are like the two prime ages that you can't.
What do you mean? I feel like their world is their oyster.
It is, but they're interested in very different things.
Oh.
One wants Mexican food. The other wants
sushi,
chicken tenders. Oh, one wants Starbucks. The other one wants, you know, donuts.
Do they get along, the kids?
They get along. They're great. The one thing that unites them is wave jumping and Fortnite.
That sounds amazing.
It was really fun. That's great.
No, that's good they get along, though, because that would be like the scariest thing I think about, like blending a family, is
difficult.
Not knowing if the kids are going to get along. Because if the kids don't get along, it's like, all right, well, how are we going to do this?
It just won't work.
It wouldn't, right?
No, there's no way. They fight like siblings, though.
That's good.
That's good.
Which is good.
Yeah.
It's really, and she's really sweet with him.
Does she like you?
Yeah.
Because a girl at that age is tough.
Yeah, but she's not super tough.
Okay, that's good.
She's really like easy to get along with, sensitive.
That's good.
Super sweet.
I was a rager.
Really
at
grateful, thankful. I was too.
Yeah, I was like, hormones.
I know, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But it was really fun. It was nice to get out of the city.
Yeah.
I forget how we get. I am such a creature of habit where I end up doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, go to the country store for coffee.
Farmer's Market Sunday.
Yes, Farmer's Market. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's go to the Grove.
Mm, yeah.
It's like Groundhog's Day every single day.
50,000 other people at the Grove.
Oh, God. Yep. In the heat. The worst place ever. How about you guys? Did you have a good weekend?
We had an awesome weekend.
We had a great weekend.
Yeah, we had like an amazing weekend. But before the weekend, we potty trained Jolie.
Love.
Because it was so hot in LA. So we're like, we don't want to go outside.
Right.
She's about to start her, 3-day half school preschool days. So
has to be potty trained.
She didn't have to be, they encourage it, obviously.
Obviously.
And she's 2.5. So we're like, okay, the time is now. And he had a lighter work schedule. So he's like, okay, I'm going to be able to help. Because I didn't want to put it on one of us. Just, I wanted us to be able to help each other.
It's a job.
Stressful.
Yeah.
It's very stressful.
But I think we did. I mean, she was incredible.
That's
like, she was so good.
Awesome.
Yeah, and like we just like worked together really well, and like it was good. Like she did great.
Did you do the 3-day?
We did the 3-day where she was just butt naked.
Yeah, it's the best way to do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It really is. And by the third day, she was just like pee pee.
Amazing. And girls are a little easier than potty training boys for some reason.
Do you sit the boys down or do they stand up?
They sit down.
Okay. I don't know.
No, you're right.
I need to know these things.
He didn't start standing up until he was 4, using the restroom, actually standing up like a male.
Does he have to push his pee-pee down?
Yes, he used to.
Okay. So it's like, do they know that they have to like push it down?
They know. They know. Well, you teach them too. The other thing is, I did the 3-day, but I used a treasure chest. I went to the dollar store and I bought like $100 worth of just whatever.
Yeah.
So every time he used the bathroom, he got to pick something out of the treasure chest.
Oh, cute.
So I waited until he was 3 because boys just need the extra. They need extra time.
Naturally. Like all things.
I know.
Yes. Like all things, men need a little bit more time.
So just know in the future, you are going to want to wait.
Yeah.
When you have
the boy.
The little boy.
The little boy in the belly.
You know, I didn't tell you this what? Weekend, honey. We were out at lunch yesterday with my family that we were in town. And Jolie's just playing this game now. She just every 5 seconds, she has to go potty, right?
Oh,
so and it's like, you got to take them because they're saying it, because at one time they actually have to go. Like it's, you want to make sure you take them.
Yeah.
And so I took her in the men's room and we tried. She didn't have to go. So then I have to go to the bathroom. I used the urinal And so then she started pointing the other urinal. She's like, that one? Like, like she wanted to, like, she was like starting to like mess with her pants.
No.
I considered it for a second. I was like, maybe I'll just hold her up and
no.
see it.
Oh, thank God.
So I was like, I don't want to start that habit. So she wanted she wanted to stand up and pee.
That's really
so funny.
That's our girl.
She confuses a fart with like poop. So like she, every time she's like, potty, potty, potty. And then she'll go and she'll be like, I'm done. I'm like, honey, we're like, baby, that's a fart. Okay. So like you can fart and not have to go to the bathroom. Like it's polite of you to like,
she
doesn't
trust her farts yet.
Yeah. But like, she doesn't. So yeah. So I was, Michael and I were, we were coming back from lunch and I said, when do you trust a fart? Because that's the thing. I'm like,
yeah, like, that was our intellectual conversation this weekend.
On the drive back.
At what point do you trust a fart?
I know, because I'm like, if I was 2.5, like, I'm like, I still, I mean, I'm 34 years old. I still shouldn't trust a fart sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, and it's like, good on her to like not trust it.
Yeah.
Because like, I have sharted before. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
No. Like, I didn't, I should have trusted it, and I didn't. I know.
That was our weekend, Jen.
Tom, come on. Everybody has.
No. And listen, little boys, Rocco still.
Jen's not going to admit she
has accidents. He, you know, because it's hard for them. They just, they don't know.
No.
They just don't know.
No idea. So there is a new show. I don't know, Jen, if you heard about this, but it is premiering on the TLC network. It premieres on Sunday at 8, 7 Central on TLC. It's called The 90 Day Fiancé. Have you heard about it?
I've heard rumblings.
Rumblings. Okay, well, let me just tell you this. It's the 90-day countdown known around the world. TLC's hit show, 90 Day Fiancé, is taking you on a journey from the very, very beginning and going before the 90 days. These couples fall in love online, and now we get to see their first date halfway around the world. They're taking a huge risk and putting their life on the line for love. So there's culture shock, language barriers, unexpected twists and turns. I mean, can these relationships survive? Who will get down on one knee? I don't know. Some of the couples don't even speak the same language, and they have to use a translator app to communicate.
Okay, wait a second. Communication is hard enough anyway.
Yeah, and I know.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they've only talked online, but I guess anything is possible when they meet in person. When they arrive in a foreign country, will their soulmate be there to meet them, and will they turn out to be who they say they are? I mean, will they return home engaged or heartbroken? You got to find out on 90 Day Fiancé, which premieres Sunday at 8, 7 Central.
Well, let's check out some of the cast. Did you read this? Rachel and John, she's a single mom from New Mexico. He's from England and has a criminal record. They met on a karaoke
Oh, and then there's 52-year-old Angela. It's from Georgia, and is head over heels for her 30-year-old Nigerian sweetheart, Michael, whose friends question why he's dating a grandma.
But Marta and Dyer are my favorite, though. Marta is a Catholic exotic dancer, and Dyer is a devout Muslim and doesn't speak English. She's flying to Algeria to meet him.
Sounds like love at first sight.
Talk about mother-in-law scary stories.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to watch their journey, and you guys can too. It premieres Sunday at 8, 7 Central on TLC.
I'm watching it.
But I'm really super excited because John Edward, I don't know if you guys know who he is, but he is incredible. But Amy, go ahead.
Well, Amy just I never talk.
Besides when Mayim was
and
there.
This, you guys. So, Jana, I want you to tell like your personal, how you've been wanting to meet John Edward.
Right now?
Yes, but first, guys, like I'm like, my hands are sweating because this guy is so real.
I know.
So here is what happened. This is years ago, like 3 or 4 years ago. I'm like sweating. He's so real. I'm a total naysayer, but this guy is real. He talks to dead people because I had a business call with him for something for Ryan Seacrest or something where it was like a business call. It wasn't supposed to be like he was reading me. And at the time, I was going through this like super hard time. Like it sucked so bad. I can't even explain. So I'm on the phone with him talking work, and he like stops the business call and says, hey, like, are you all right? Or something like that. And I just start crying. He goes, I know there's an issue. The name is blank. Like my heart is pounding. Like this is so real. It was the name. I was like, oh my God, oh wow. My God. And he said, there's an issue with a car, which there was a total issue with a car. And he said, you need to get this guy out of your life. I said, like, can we be friends? Like, I was trying. So, like, he said, you need to cut this guy out like a cancer. And he was so right. Like, nothing's ever been so right. And I was, I mean, I didn't do it at the time.
I was just going to ask you. That was my next question. Did
but
you
did
do it?
It about, let's see, July, August, September, like 4 or 5 months later.
Okay.
This guy is so real. So, like, if you're listening, I hope he reads you, Jana, so bad.
I heard he's not going to.
I think we have a shot at it. Like, I'm hoping he's going to come in and, like, get a vibe. So I'm going to go get him.
Okay, because you, like, guys don't understand.
Can you guys,
like,
believe that? It's so real.
Oh, my God.
Like, he knows.
And Michael, my naysayer husband's like, I'm sure there was an email or something that he maybe read.
No,
it's not just that.
He was on your Instagram.
I'm a big skeptic.
Yeah, you are a huge skeptic.
I just want to ask questions on where does it come from? Like,
yeah.
When did it start? How did he know?
Yeah.
Like, all that kind of stuff. Like, so his kids. Does he read his kids? Like,
right.
He's got a family. Does he read his wife? Is his wife like, yo, leave me alone. Stop reading all my
Do you know I had a psychic? My last psychic said to cut you out like a cancer, Mike. And he's still here. I know.
I'm still here, baby. Still fighting.
Do you know, she told me that, like, when we were at, like, a wedding. She's like, the man you're with, you need to cut him out like a cancer.
Oh, my God.
I know. So I'm, like, actually really pumped about this spot because since being pregnant, my boobs have turned into, like, a national monument. And none of my bras fit me, like, at all. And I feel like the bras that I have been wearing are just super, super uncomfortable. And then I found out about Third Love. And it actually, well, I'll say this. Do you know that breast shape matters when finding a good fit? It really does.
I didn't know. I just pick out the bras I think are the prettiest.
I know,
and
I do
then
too.
They suck.
Yeah, and then they're like showing things I don't want to be seen.
Right.
But Third Love actually helps you identify your breast size and shape and find styles that fit your body, which I think is really cool. And but also Third Love has the most sizes of any bra brand, cups from A through H, which I'll never be, but
wow.
Bands up to 48. And then honestly, I just ordered mine and it's hands down the best bra. It's so freaking comfortable. And it honestly, they guarantee a perfect fit. Returns and exchanges are free and super, super, super easy. And I love it too because they come in half sizes.
Oh.
So if you're like, that's kind of like where I'm into, like the in between.
Right.
So you can get like a C and a half or a D and a half. It's kind of great.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And they're super comfy. So Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/Jana now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/Jana for 15% off. All right, you guys, I'm starstruck and I'm freaking out a little bit. Well, a lot, but it's cool. Me and Amy are just like fangirling over here because
Because John remembered. He remembered.
He remembered me.
When I went out, he's like, how are you? Since the last time we talked. I'm like, how do you, talked to thousands of people. How do you remember?
I remember the conversation.
Amazing. Amy.
I'm so happy now. Don't tell me anything. Unless you're getting something that like, it's so
no, I'm happy to hear you're good.
Okay, guys, that voice, that voice is John Edward.
The.
Well, thank you. And you didn't add an S. Like, you actually said it the right way.
John
like,
Edward.
Yeah, most people add the S.
Well, you're I know right. you because I stalked you for years. Like,
really?
Stalked. And I'll tell you and my listeners this. So, I think it was definitely before you, but I was just at a total crossroads in my life and I just needed some guidance. And I've seen a medium before and, but you know, you're John Edward, like you're the biggest one out there. And so I went on your website, tried to get like a private thing and it was like not happening, but, but there was a mailing list that you can like, you can get on that you can potentially have a reading with you. So I signed up like a very, very long time ago. I'm still waiting. Like, I still get your newsletters and every time I'm like, is it? No, it's not the reading.
So can you bump Jana up the list? No, like,
so when I was doing the TV show, I actually had a policy that the first Wednesday of the month between like 7 and 9:30, I would open the phone lines and whoever got in got an appointment for the following month or they got on the list.
Yeah.
But when the TV part of it started to happen, I just really honestly thought I was going to do that for like 13 weeks. I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be done. I'm going back to what I do. And it didn't happen like that. So I didn't see the success of what that was going to be.
Right.
My waiting list became like 8 years long.
Yeah.
And
I probably am.
And there were legitimately people that were on the list that passed, and then their families kept their appointments.
Oh,
like, seriously,
stop.
I had one woman come through for her son, and she must have said to me at least four or five times during the reading, this is my appointment.
Oh,
so
my
I kept
God.
Saying, you're here for your mom. And the guy's looking at me like shaking his head.
Yeah.
But she said it like more than like one time. And usually when information comes through, if it gets validated, we move on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
But this was like a recurring theme. So
yeah.
Finally at the end, I'm like, can I just ask you a question? I go, did your mom repeat herself a lot like in life? And he goes, no. I said, it's just weird because like you validated the fact that, yes, you're here to talk to her.
Uh-huh.
I go, but I don't understand why she kept saying, this is my appointment. And he goes, because it was her appointment. And
oh
I go, what do you mean? He goes, dude, I don't know who you are. He goes, but my mom just died. He goes, and she had copious notes in her appointment book about this was like the appointment. And I'm assuming she was coming to talk to my dad, but it's like, you know, confirm the appointment a week before. This is where, you know, this is the number to call. So she had all this stuff laid out. So he found it going through her stuff and did it and came and she came through. So that's one of my like kind of like, yeah, like this is my appointment.
I believe.
How can you not?
That's incredible. No, my husband is like, you've always been in like one of the naysayers. And I'd come home and I had this psychic reading and he was like, I was like, how did they know this? And he's like, they probably looked you up online. They
but
probably like Googled your
but
birthday.
But see, I think this is healthy. And I love these conversations because if somebody comes to my event, like mm-hmm. I like watching their jaws drop in the beginning before I do readings because I say to them, here's what I'm not going to talk about. I'm not talking about your hummingbirds, your cardinals, your feathers, your angels, seeing 1111, orbs in your photos, jewelries. I go through a laundry list of all of the things that I think are low-hanging fruit when you do this work.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Like, so I say, I want you to be a critical thinker. I want you to come to the subject matter as a critical thinker, and I want you to explore it. And I want you to think about what I'm saying, because if you're thinking about what I'm saying, it's going to make my life a lot easier, because then you're not just looking to go like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm going to cry, because odds are I'm not going to make you cry. I'm going to make you think. Because if I could actually do that, then I'm really leaving you better than I find you. And like nothing irks me more than when I watch a reading performed.
Yeah.
Like when it's like a...
Oh.
That's so true. I mean, although I didn't do it right when you said, I should have. But it's so true. I mean, you changed my life. Like for the better. Like that's what I just want to say to
you. No, but you did. Like, I didn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. If you made her think.
You to think about mm-hmm. choices. And I think one of the things that concerns me about this subject matter is that people will be all too willing to surrender their free will and choice to what somebody else is going to tell them. And I'm like, whoa, I have my own karma. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got my own kids I got to worry about. Like, I got my own family. I don't need your karma. So it's like, here's the information.
Yeah.
Make an informed decision based upon your own free will. But, you know, it's really raining out. So maybe take an umbrella.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
It's a thunderstorm. Yeah. What is your, because you had some really good questions. Like,
what's your sign?
My Pisces.
Oh, you should be totally into this. This is like, usually Pisces are either completely like fearful of it or afraid of what they're going to hear, or they don't even realize how intuitive they are. Like it's one of the more evolved signs when it comes to spirituality.
Interesting. So what makes you like a naysayer?
And sex.
I think just witnessing it before, I feel like there are like, John's talking about like the low hanging fruit where I feel like some like mediums or psychics might like say things to get a reaction and kind of base it off of that. And I don't know. I just never have really been drawn to it. And my question is too, is like, I love to see that, you know, you have kids, you have a wife, you have a family.
Right.
So my question is, all right, how does this affect your like daily life?
It's really just it's like a philosophy, right? So I'm looking at you. You obviously work out and you probably eat healthy, right? You make choices about what you're going to eat or what you're not going to eat, right? That's like a choice, correct? Right.
Correct.
So I live my life in the same way, but when it comes to a spiritual belief, like, so energetically, I look at how choices are being made or how to create boundaries around areas and protect energy. People think like everywhere I go, I'm like being psychic. I'm not. Like, when I'm not doing readings, I am powered down. And the reason why I'm powered down is because I don't want to open up to someone's energy if they did not ask me. Like, if I'm in a restaurant and they did not ask me, it's no different than me being a creeper in their backyard, watching them through the window.
Right.
It's really unethical. It's not okay. So my kids look at energy from that standpoint about how do they get an edge? So if they know someone, right, if they know their sign, if they know their numerology, Well, now they have more information about that. I call it knowing your breed. I wrote a book called Infinite Quest, and in the book I talk about knowing your breed. If you have a German Shepherd, you immediately now have a visual. You have a visual of what a German Shepherd is. Now, if I say this person is a German Shepherd compared to this person who's a poodle, you've now have a completely comparative analysis of the two different breeds. Well, you could do that between a Pisces and a Leo. You know what I'm saying? Like you could like look at the two different things. So it's a matter of looking at things from an energetic standpoint, not from a, oh, I'm tuning in and getting readings. So it's using it as a lens. So I use glasses as an example. I didn't know I needed them until I was in high school. And when I realized that I needed glasses, the first time I put them on and I walked outside and I looked up, like they weren't just fuzzy, blurry green things, like leaves had actual shape, right? But it was like they were always there, but they were just green and fuzzy. Now I was like, oh, wow. And my mother was like standing in the parking lot, like, can we keep going? But it was the first time that I saw it with clarity. So wow. I try to get people to look at life through an energetic pair of glasses, not to do readings, but to make better choices.
And their sign is like how you direct that?
That's one aspect. Like I'm not an astrologer. I'm a student of it. Uh-huh. I feel like I'm a student of all of this still, you know, after 34 mm-hmm. years. And I think you need to be. But it's a tool. So astrology, numerology. Yeah, you know, like I didn't want my son to be a Virgo. No offense to any of the Virgos.
I don't like Virgo men.
I didn't want him to mm-hmm. be a Virgo. Yeah. So I said to the doctor.
Oh my God, I love this.
This is my favorite.
I said, Is my wife okay? And he's like, yeah. I go, Is the baby okay? And he goes, yeah. I go, could we like leave him in there for like another week?
And cookies aren't done.
The guy looked at me and he goes, why? I go, because if you have him on this day, he's going to be a Virgo. I go, and if we can push it off just another week, I go, it's going to be a Libra. I'm a Libra. I said, it's going to be better. She's a Leo. I go, trust me, it's going to be really bad. And the guy looked at me, I was like, you know, only because you're you. Like, we're even having this conversation. And then he goes to me, but serious question. What happens if she goes into labor and, like, the baby comes? I'm like, well, then I know that that soul, for whatever reason, wants to be a Virgo, and I'll help navigate that as best I can. Yeah. I go, but can we schedule this for the...
Keep it in,
he
honey.
Scheduled the C-section.
And that C-section was scheduled for September 25th. Yep.
Wow.
Amazing. That's, yep. I love
so,
that.
Like, that's a realistic how I used it in my everyday life.
Yeah.
But now, from a lesson standpoint, I had a really bad relationship with my dad, who was an Aquarian. So he was kind of like not part of my life. And when I became a dad, I thought like, okay, so how do I make sure that I change the pathways and parallels and lessons that I didn't learn with him there? So I thought I was going to be not a great dad, but my son and I was awesome. It was like easy.
We're having a boy. So good. That's like,
so I thought it was going to be really, really easy. Mm-hmm. And then when my daughter was on her way and I did the math and figured out what she was going to be, she was an Aquarian. And I thought, oh crap.
No.
So the lesson was the Libra child with the Aquarian parent now got inverted to the Libra parent, yes, to the Aquarian child. And I say this to people because we don't escape our lessons. So it's really important to understand them while we're doing it so we can make those choices.
Interesting. So how do you shut off the dead people though?
It's really about listening. So it's like, it's a matter of protection, uh-huh, opening myself up, meditating,
okay,
in prayer,
okay,
and then allowing stuff to happen, which I kind of did before I came in here, just because I told me it was okay for me to do that.
Yeah.
So whenever I have the permission, then I feel like it's okay. But if I'm like, you know, I just did KTLA, like I was like powered down, locked down, because
right,
I don't have the ability. I wish I did. I don't have the ability to go read just here.
Yes.
So if I try to read just here, I can read somebody that's out there. I don't know. I jokingly say this, that when I do readings,
yeah,
or when I open up, I'm kind of like the 2-year-old that you want to potty train. You want them to hit the bowl, but it's like you hit the floor, you hit the wall. I can't just do that. Like, there are some people who can just do that.
Tunnel right. vision.
I can't do that.
This is Wanda with Janet Kramer.
No, go.
I'm just happy to be here.
No, baby, go.
When did this start for you? And that's what fascinates me too, is like, because like you said, you have kind of control over it. You know
now.
How to prep yourself. Yeah,
now.
Like, when were those years of you just hearing things or feeling things that you didn't know what it was?
So at 15, I had a reading, and that reading put me on this path. But before that, my mom, my uncle, my grandmother, all my Italian side of the family, they used to have psychics come to the house all the time.
Wow.
I was the obnoxious high school kid who who was making fun of all the people coming for the readings. And then I would pull apart their literally pull apart their readings. And my mom would be like, why do you got to be like that? You know, you're taking away the fun. I'm like, why do you got to help? You're paying people to like tell you stories. I'm like, buy a book. It'll be cheaper. So like, that's my, but that's my personality. Right. So my grandmother came down and she was crying. Now my grandmother's like my other mom. And I was like, grandma, why are you crying? And she's like, I'm not crying because I'm sad. I'm crying because I'm happy. She told me your grandfather was standing next to me. And I was like, grandma, grandpa's dead. And she's like, yes, I know. I was there when they put him in the ground. I go, what did this woman say to you to make you cry? Because now I'm like, I'm angered. Now it's like the, you know, the Italian male side of me came in. I was like, what did she made my grandma cry.
Yeah.
So she said, she told me that Tony was standing behind me and that he was still there. And I started to laugh. And I was like, grandma, you were introduced to her as Mrs. Esposito. To say that there's a Tony somewhere in your family is not really not really psychic. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be, did she ask you if there was a Maria too? You know what I'm saying? Like, so my grandmother like flipped around really quick. She goes, then how did she know he was buried with a mandolin?
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. My grandfather passed before I was born.
Wow.
So this is what my brain, I have OCD, so my brain thinks in a specific way. So you get it. So I go to the list of the people that went up before my grandmother. I wanted to see who on that list might have known that information to extrapolate it to then deliver it to the old woman in the house. But none of the people on the list were family. They were all friends of family that would not have known my grandfather was buried with a mandolin. So I couldn't figure that out.
Yeah.
So long story short, I go for the reading and I said, I am not going to help her. I said, this woman will get absolutely no help from me. And I literally sat there. Like this.
Stone cold, yeah.
Like nothing. She took my high school ring and she put it like over her forehead, which we considered the third eye chakra. Mm-hmm. And she starts reading for me, at which point she's telling me I had highly evolved beings of white and gold light and they were ready to work with me and put me on my path. Now, if you tell a 15-year-old sophomore kid this information, right, and they're not looking at you, like, I remember thinking, like,
what are you smoking?
Seriously, she could have said, I've got my spaceship in the backyard. I'll take you for a spin. Right. And I was like, all right. And then she went on to give me stuff that, I have to be honest, was applicable to me, but I could rationalize it away and say, well, I could apply this to five other guys in high school.
Yeah.
Right. But then the last part of the reading, I couldn't explain. I would have had to have been with her. I would have had to personally have confided in her. Nobody. My mother would have killed me if she knew, like, what this woman had said to me. And then she gave me the outcome of it. So because I was nervous about getting in trouble, I lied. I said to her, girl, I don't know who that is. And she smiled and went, okay. And then told me what was going to happen. And then within 2 weeks, it happened. So for 2 weeks, I was completely freaked out because I felt like there's no way possible this woman could have known that. So I said, all right, she's a mind reader. She was able to do something like she got in here and read stuff, which, by the way, freaked me out. And I tell people, like, I didn't like it. I felt violated. I always say my first reading wasn't cool. It was a violation. It's like you came home into your house and somebody was in your, you know, somebody's in your stuff. They moved your, it's like, I didn't like it. I did not like it. Not even a little bit. And when you have that violation, you want to put an alarm system in. So within that moment, I'm now reading about the subject matter, which back in 1985 was the occult. And then 2 weeks later, all this stuff happened. And it literally was, my world shifted. Because, you know what? I'm very skeptical and very analytical, but I'm not a closed-minded person. So I had no choice but to go, okay, what the hell? Like, what is this? And then the more I studied, the more I started going, well, this is not psychic. This is normal. I've been doing this my entire life. But I think when you look at movies and TV and, like, you know, reality shows today, what happens is whenever they depict something psychic, they make it either stereotypical, over the top.
Yes.
Right?
So it's like everyone has a grandparent they lost or something.
Yeah,
right?
But it's dramatic and it's really not true. I mean, it's dramatic, but it's subtle. And that's what I think people miss. I think they miss the subtlety of something. So like when my son was being born, I meditated like I was going to be at the Staples Center doing a reading for like that many people. Like I was waiting for all of this information from my mom and my grandparents, like all this stuff to come through. And it wasn't until like my wife looked at me like, could you focus here? Like having a baby.
Yeah.
So I was looking up and almost missed what was taking place here. Again, an example of pay attention to the lessons we're living here. But in the conversations after my son was born between the doctors and the nurses and the techs in the room, they by name named every single person that I wanted to hear from. Everyone. But they were just talking. So they weren't like, it wasn't psychic. It was just a conversation. So for me, it was that shout out moment, but it was subtle. So it was a matter of like having to pay attention. Some people would say, oh, it was a coincidence. Don't think it's a coincidence. Not when every person that I wanted to hear was brought up in a conversation 10 minutes after my son was born. Yeah. So sometimes we get our messages in ways that are not the way that we're looking to hear it.
So I've been reading a lot about like law of attraction and energy sure. and your own energy and kind of making yourself happy and kind of all that.
Sure.
Abraham Hicks. I don't yep. know if you know.
Well, before Abraham Hicks and before, you know, whatever the secret was,
mm-hmm. yeah.
there was a book like 30 years ago called Creative Visualization yeah. by an author named Shakti Gwain. Same premise. It's really what you put out there is what you attract. So right now,
what
you
do
guys
you think of that.
I think it's very accurate. It's mm-hmm. It's real. It's like you create your own future. And that's what I want people to do. I want people to think about what their thoughts are because your thoughts are going to create your own reality. I think Richard Bach and another, you know, guy kind of made his own. James Quick said something along the lines of, if you fight for your limitations, you're going to get a chance to keep them. You know, if you argue a case for the negative, you're going to win that. So why not argue for the positive? But it's easier to be negative and it's easier to come from a place of fear.
Why is that?
Because it's the lowest common denominator. It's the lowest common denominator.
Amy almost tackled Mike.
It's the fast food of thought. It is the easiest, quickest, and cheapest place to go. Fast food of thought. But if you want to eat clean and healthy, you got to work at that. Right. So it's like those thoughts are the important parts. But if what you put out there, it's important. So if you guys with this show decided, I only want to attract now, you know, moms between the ages of 20 and 25, then everything you talk about are going to be has to be about moms between the ages of 20 and 25. Mm-hmm. No 60-year-old woman's going to want to listen to that because she's not there in her life. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So it's really important to think about what do you want to attract in your life? Because if you want to actually attract something different, you have to put that out there to pull it in and then be patient. It's really important to be patient.
Are you a believer, Mike?
Yeah. So I do have one more skeptical question.
Sure. Skeptical questions are good.
Almost.
I'm on the edge. But what you just said just now really got me because I'm a big believer in optimism and positive sure. thinking and stuff like that. I think that's the way to live for me personally. But have you ever been wrong?
A lot. Absolutely. So it's interpretational for me.
Okay.
So sometimes like I sometimes get it right by being wrong. So if I'll use an example from the show. I read for a woman and I said, somebody was shot in a cab. Why did I say that? I saw a gun in a New York City taxi. So I said, somebody was shot in a cab, right? I symbolically put it together. And the woman said, yes. I said, and this was connected to your husband. And she goes, it was actually my husband's dad. It was my father-in-law. I said, this is how he passed. And she said, no, he's alive. And I got confused. I go, but he was shot in a cab? And she said, yes, he was shot in the cab of an 18-wheeler. Now, here's the interesting thing. If I would have said, was somebody shot in a car or a taxi, it would have been inaccurate. Mm-hmm. But they got me to say cab, right? In my New York City vernacular, it came out cab, right? But if I would have said taxi, it would have been wrong. But there are many times where I will misinterpret something. And a lot of times I want to be wrong. So if I'm reading for someone and I see something that's not positive, I say to them, I go, I'm seeing something that to me would feel cautionistic. Be careful. Let's not let this happen.
Right.
You know, I was completely wrong about Barack Obama.
What did you say about Barack?
Did you read Barack? No, Barack Obama, when he was running, I said to my cousin, because I host a show online, and I said to my cousin, who's my co-host, I go, if they elect him, I'll eat my show. And she looked at me and she goes, why would you say that? She's like, you're so like non-political. I go, I am non-political. I go, but I read energy. I said, I just don't think the country's in a place where they're ready for a black man whose name rhymes with Osama, you know, to be the president. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was not talking about it from any other experience because I knew nothing about him. I knew no platforms. To be quite honest, up until a year ago, I thought the GOP could have General Order of Patriots. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm completely clueless. Like I'm not that guy. So,
I'm laughing, but I also don't notice.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Right. But when he got elected, my cousin was like, you remember that prediction? And I was like, I do. And she's like, yeah. And she literally reached down on camera and whipped out her kid. And she was like, have at it. So then I sat there and I own it. And for 8 years, it was a thing that we would go back and forth as we banter. Like if I was, you know, I could be wrong. And she'd be like the election. I'd be like, seriously? Well, when where we are now happened, I said back.
Trump?
Yep.
Yeah.
I said, I take all that back. I go, I was not wrong. We were not ready. And this is the result. And now I was like, you eat your own chew.
Goosebumps. Yes.
Right, but it's about energy. So I look at everything through an energetic lens. you know, whether it be,
I love that.
You know, school.
It's a good way for everyone to live.
It's mm-hmm. it's really a philosophy for me. It really is just, you know, people say it's about being psychic. It's not being psychic. It's being a thinker. Uh-huh. You know, I find it interesting that I have a lot of atheists that follow me.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And yeah, it's yeah. I'm like, I almost want to be like, why are you guys following?
Right. But, well, you've asked that though. You're like, it's almost like playing God in a way.
Not in this end. On some yeah. people's places, some. I would say yes.
Yeah.
I agree with what John's yeah. saying. Not in his sense, his philosophy,
see,
but others, yeah.
The problem is when you literally take somebody who's got an ability and deem special, mm-hmm. and if that ignites their ego, that's dangerous. You know what I'm saying? So I learned from a really young age, like, this is not about me. So for 4 decades now, I've been doing work, and I recognize I am just the phone. I'm not the conversation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And like mm-hmm. at this point, like I'm like an iPhone 6. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? I still function, but it's still the conversation. To me, it's really important to always make sure that we're upgrading our own energy iOS, that we're always making sure that we're on point.
I love it.
Yeah, there's so much codependency out there and so much like people are looking for other people to direct their life. Where that's where I like what John's saying, because it's not about that. He's just laying the stuff out there, and it's your decision to what you want to go with. And I feel like other mediums or psychics.
Like the one that told me to leave you.
Yeah, especially that.
Nobody said that. Somebody said that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did.
Now look at us.
Just happy as ever.
No, you know what's. See, here's the problem. Like, even if I saw a situation, uh-huh. even if I saw a situation that might not have been healthy,
it was definitely not a great situation. And in hindsight, and not to cut you off, but in hindsight, like, yes, like any person that may have felt that would say run, but I stayed and we worked through it. And it's great now, but go ahead.
Right. But if you look at a snapshot mm-hmm. of anybody's relationship, if they're in a rough patch, mm-hmm. then. Somebody could say run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. of any relationship.
Yeah.
If it's the long term that you're looking at, that's something I think, you know, even if we talked way back when, mm-hmm. the ultimate free will and choice has to be in the person's timing when they're right,
yeah.
based upon what they're seeing and based upon their own experiences.
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of times I know that I can't say something to, let's say, a friend, because if I say it to them, it's going to push the lesson off. So I know that I have to keep my mouth shut mm-hmm. and wait until certain things play out so that they can turn around and say to me, how come you didn't say something? And I'll be honest with them, like, well, if I would have said it, would you have listened? And they go, no. I go, that's why I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
So I'm actually helping you by not saying something. Mm-hmm. And it sped up the reality of where you're at, because you don't feel defensive now of the relationship. You're including me and asking my opinion about what's taking place or transpired. And by the way, I'm sorry you had to get to this point, but you wouldn't have learned. You can't frost a cake until you bake it. Yeah. So she had to bake her own cake.
I love that. That's the way it should be.
You okay?
I'm usually not speechless.
Yeah.
Usually I'll still keep attacking.
Mike, do you do any type of public speaking or traveling in public speaking?
I do not, but it's something that we're looking into.
I almost feel like there's a platform for you that you're looking to kind of launch, where it would be you kind of taking people that would be broken and trying to not fix them, but give them the tools of understanding what they can do. And I don't know why, but I'm seeing a lot of Asian symbolism around you. Like
what?
Like Asian, like Asian symbols, like Asian Japanese symbols. Japanese. And like, there's no trip to Japan or no trip to China. There's nothing that's...
Not that I know of. Who knows? Maybe.
But like you don't have any... Like, you haven't been invited from a corporate standpoint to do something
no.
or anything. There might be something that's going to have that kind of outside of the... Like, almost like across the Pacific kind of vibe for you.
Interesting.
So if
Eva starts sponsoring us, I'm actually going to like...
No, but we've honestly been talking about that because, you know, he's been through a lot and we've talked about him... Yeah, not saving or whatever, but just offering advice. And
can I be personal? Like,
yeah. You can ask any.
Okay. Yeah. Did somebody pass from a suicide? Like, did somebody cross themselves over where someone's actions
were? On my side, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like somebody's taking responsibility for how they got there. Oh. And I almost feel like it wasn't something that was discussed. Uh-huh. In other words, like, people glossed over it. In other words, like, we know it happened. It was discussed. But there's a twofold story to that. So I don't feel like it's just a suicide. I feel like there's, like, you know, it might have been an underlying issue as well as. So, I mean, most people, when they cross themselves over, there's multiple underlying issues. Mm-hmm. But for me to say it, I feel like there's two separate things. Is your mom still here?
Yes.
And is she in a different state than I'm standing in?
Yes.
Okay. And are you going to work to bridge that relationship?
My mom and I?
Mm.
Yeah, we're good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be some things that need to be discussed. That's all.
Yeah.
So maybe being a mom and some of those things kind of coming in.
We got into it on 4th of July.
You and mom?
Yeah. Kind of our first like fight.
Is it your first fight or is it the first time you stood up for yourself?
That.
Right.
Yeah.
So I feel like what's really, really important. No, seriously, what's really important is that as you're now moving into your power.
Yeah.
As a mom, right? Mm-hmm. As a partner, there's a power commodity that has to be looked at regarding who's brokering it. So you don't want to put him in a position of competing with her when it comes to what's happening in your future. You want it to be something that's symbiotic. Mm-hmm. And I feel like on some level, there's a passive aggressive energy that needs to be addressed.
I agree.
So if you don't create those boundaries, like if you don't like call it out and like, go like, this is really uncomfortable and not how I was raised and I want to be respectful and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It could create issues for you longer term, especially when, you know, I'll say to people, like, if somebody's having a child and one person's Catholic and one person's Jewish, but neither are really practicing. So they kind of appease their family and they have like the rabbi and the priest marry them kind of just to kind of keep the peace. But nobody really cares. 5 years later, when the baby shows up, I always say super Catholic and super Jew show up. It's like at that moment, all of a sudden it's kind of like, you know, it's like they're, it's like, you know, it's like now we're ready to battle for church over temple. And it's like, whoa, but I see it a lot. And the reason why is that we are programmed, right? So we have patterns and pathways that get passed down. So it's an automatic thing that you want to impart to your child what you think and feel and know. So you speak English, you want to teach that child English. My wife speaks Portuguese. They learn Portuguese, right? You pass down what you know. I speak energy. They speak that.
Yeah.
If there's a conflict on some level, that needs to be addressed way before.
Yeah.
So I think that there could be that issue. But there is a dad figure who has passed. So there's definitely a vibe of a dad that's passed. So whoever you would see as being like that paternal like role model, R, there's like an R name, like Robert, Roger. Who's the R?
No.
Not for you guys?
Not here.
Somebody's got a dad that's passed, and there's an R name connected to it, and he passed from cancer.
No.
Remember that I'm saying that.
Go to the office now.
Oh, gosh.
So for me, it's like, you know, older male, uncle, father, grandfather, there's an R name, passed from cancer. February's connected in the family, birthday, anniversary.
My stepdad.
Passed?
He did, from cancer.
Yeah, so for me.
His birthday was in February, and my mom's, their anniversary was in February.
So this would be your stepdad's way of letting me know that he's here. He had two different types of cancer too. It wasn't just one. So you either had it twice. And then somebody had like a surgical cochlear implant, or somebody had like a hearing aid. Is somebody going for a hearing aid thing?
I do know someone who.
Yeah. Yes. So that's so in the big scheme of things, like that's a current event in your circle of energy that your stepfather would come through talking about to let you know that it's for you and backing that up. And then there's a J, like Jack or James. There's a J name that I'm supposed to bring up. Who's the J? And he's one of three, or you're one of three? Yeah. And then connected through your biological dad, is he still here?
Yes.
But he's off, right?
Right.
He's out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I feel like that's an emotional junkyard for you. It's like there's a lot of stuff you have to walk through when it comes to what that is. And your stepfather was kind of like the guy that played the role of dad on some level. So in some respects, you didn't get a chance to grieve your stepdad in the way that you would like to grieve, because it was more like your mom's husband and he might have had his own biological children. So you didn't want to step in the way of that, correct?
Correct.
Right. And then connected to him, is that where William comes in, or the W name? Is that that side of the family?
My sister's husband.
Is William?
Mm-hmm.
Is he still here?
Yes.
Okay. So that's his way of letting me know I need to say hello to William. And then did you just get a parking ticket? Did you just get like a ticket or pulled over?
No.
I'm seeing talk about the ticket, like be careful with the ticket. But I almost want to say it happened. So maybe somebody like your sister just got pulled over and it's like his way of bringing this up.
Okay.
And I know that you said he passed in February, but October seems to be important too. So I don't know if there's a birthday in October.
His birthday was in February.
Okay.
He passed in August.
Okay.
and
he showed me 10. So when I see 10, I think October or the 10th of a month, but there's a 10 connection that comes up with him. Okay. Is your mom still here?
Yes.
Can you please let her know that he came through?
Yes.
I think it'll help her to know. Is he gone in the last 3 years? How long has he gone?
No, it's been over 20.
See, you do make people cry, John.
3 years ago, though, somebody else must have just passed because he's shown me that we're coming up on the third anniversary of something. So 3 years ago, so what are we, 2018? Yeah. 2015-ish? There was a passing because he's letting me know he's bringing that up. But he's good.
Okay.
He's good. Thank you for letting me do that.
Thank you.
You do make people cry.
Not intentionally. It's a small byproduct on occasion.
How do you not believe?
Okay, but he would be like, okay, there's got to be somebody in there that has an R, is what you would like say.
Well, that's, yeah, and that's, I don't know. I believe. But then it's
don't change. Stay exactly the way you are. You know why?
It's that stuff.
You're going to get more out of life and experiences by doing what you're doing, which is questioning.
Yeah.
Because it's so much more important to recognize what you did that, because you'll get more out of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Can you tell us what you're doing? You're doing an intensive events on your Facebook.
Yeah. So one of the things that I have, like, I took like a 10-year absence of being in front of the camera. Like, I just wanted to focus.
Why?
Like,
you, like, you're, look at you. You're great. You're good looking.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I kind of felt like I did it. Like, okay. I did it.
Yeah.
You know, I did 4 years of crossing over. That went international. Then I did 3 years of a show called Cross Country. That went international. And I was like, okay. Like, yeah. I want to teach. And TV's not going to let me teach. No way would TV would let me have these conversations. So I went online. So about a decade ago, I went online and, you know, created an online forum, and people can find that on johnever.net. But now that that's like up and running, now I feel like I'd like to kind of go back more to the mainstream. Still not sure if TV would let me do what I wanted to do, but I was approached to do something on Facebook Watch. So I did 5 episodes for them. It's called The Psychic. People can find it on Facebook. I'm not really sure how they find it on Facebook.
I love you.
That's
old,
the best.
The old dad's like, I don't know.
No, it's just, yeah. No, it's just really funny, yeah. Because it's like, you know, it's like I have my Facebook page, yeah. That's, which is my private page, my, like a personal page, but you have to have like a personal page in order to have your professional page. Uh-huh. And then off of the professional page, now there's,
yeah,
the psychic page. I'm like, why can't it just be in one spot?
Yeah,
I know.
Like, wait, a supermarket.
Don't you almost want to go back to TV? Because there are so many psychics that are getting their own TV shows, and you just kind of, don't you just want to like hit them over the head with like a book?
You know, somebody said to me about a year and a half ago, you know, you're leaving your Harry Potter years. And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, well, you know, you started so young and you were like Harry Potter, mm-hmm. like, you know, the wizard. And he's like, and now you're moving into your Dumbledore years. And I was like, okay, this dude just told me old, like right to my face. I was like, well, can I be early Dumble? Like, or I got to go like full robe and beard. And I have to say that there's something about recognizing after 4 decades of being in this field, 34 years of doing it, that, yeah, I have an opinion, and, you know, I've been more open with how I feel about stuff that I see, and it I don't like the gimmicky stuff. I don't like seeing the subject matter not treated with respect.
Yeah,
I think it's okay for it to be deemed entertainment on television, but you know what? I lost my mom. There's nothing entertaining about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's nothing entertaining about grief. It could be educational, and education could be entertaining. But I think there's a problem with TV. I think everything is too reality based. I think
that's why they need you then, because you got to keep it real.
But who? I don't know if people would watch.
I will debate that with you, because of the stuff that Michael and I have gone through and all of his our issues. People want real. It's not pretty. It's ugly, right, what we've been through. But it's, people relate to that. People want to like be there and sit through that, and because they feel like they don't want all the rainbows and butterflies.
Right. Well, so, I'm definitely not rainbows and butterflies. Yeah. Matter of fact,
I think it's changing. Like, people want the realness. People,
if
want,
I have
like,
that
the
opportunity, I promise you, I will take it. I got pulled.
Do it like this. Do it on the radio. Because
yeah,
it's such an intimate connection.
It really is.
Radio is my first love.
Yeah.
The John Edward podcast.
Is my radio. First love.
We can talk right after, John, if you want.
I Heart Radio.
I don't know what to call
sponsor.
It other than a gift. Get,
ability.
Has your ability gotten stronger? And
it has.
Yeah.
It has. Somebody recently said to me, like, why don't you bring Crossing Over back? And I was like, you mean like the reruns? And they were like, yeah. I was like, no. And they were like, why? I was like, no, no, I'm way better at doing this today than I was back then. Yeah. Not that it wasn't good for then.
Yeah, just today's format.
But just so much growth.
Yeah, and it's so funny, again, not to be political, but like when I was listening, I was waiting to pick up my son at school, and they were doing, I don't know who the guy's name, but somebody, it was like one of the Supreme Court people, they were like talking about what his nomination, talking about what his views were on certain mm-hmm. things. So I immediately identified with that and go, well, you know, if you would ask me today what my views are on something in my field, I'm going to judge that differently. Because I've got 20 years more experience than if you asked me that same exact question right. back then. Yeah. So I was like, interesting. So I always try to, again, to real life, draw parallels energetically to get people to think like, you know, do you feel the same way about something today that you did 5 years ago or 5 years before? Probably not. That's growth, yeah. you know, so.
Well, I just cannot thank you enough for coming on the show, and I really hope that you bump me up on the list. I'd like to be, 2 years at least out versus my 20 years out. So, but no, I just really
thank
appreciate
you,
and
I really
your
appreciate
energy
it.
is refreshing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
so
guys.
Much.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Jen, we talk about sleeping a lot because we like to sleep.
Right.
And I always say that you have to have a great mattress, but you need good sheets.
I am the sheet queen. I change my sheets every day.
That's crazy to me.
Every day. I was at a hotel this weekend and I called down to have them come up and change the sheets.
Do you know that's not very good for the environment?
I know, but it's really good for my sleep.
Well, that's good. I mean, if it helps you sleep, then you gotta do whatever
you do.
You know, you want to do. But for me, like, sheets is everything. You can have a comfy bed, but if you don't have comfy sheets, it just screws up like the whole thing.
Absolutely.
So that's why I'm obsessed with Brooklinen, because the sheets are so incredibly comfortable and they're like designer, but at a discount.
I love a discount.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's so good. It's they're like fancy hotel sheets like you were sleeping in, mm-hmm. but it's reasonable prices. So I love it. So their method is take out the middleman, keep things personal just between them and the customer, all the way from design to manufacturing to customer service and beyond. So Brooklinen is the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. Over 20,000 five-star reviews. So my Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the code Jana at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love your new sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code Jana at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN. That's Brooklinen.com, promo code Jana. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever. So.
Whoa.
Yeah. You cried.
I cried. I never cry in front of people. It's my thing. Like, I'm super strong.
You're a pretty crier, though. Oh. You're like. You're just like, yes. And I'm like, ah!
So at least I didn't ugly cry.
No, you. Right? That was pretty.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, Carrie Underwood. People can cry pretty.
I usually cry pretty.
You did. That was a pretty cry. And Michael had a little.
Jen cried. I was speechless.
You had a little stank in your eye. You had a little onion cut going on in your eye.
I did. When you talked about the speaking stuff.
Yeah, because we've discussed that.
Yeah, we've talked about it with a lot of different people. And
so he picked up on that, which is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
As soon as he said that, just because I know the backstory of it, uh-huh. I was like, whoa, yeah. Here we go. Buckle your seatbelts, kids.
But you got lost with when he started to like dive into other things. Like,
yeah, and that's just where my skepticism just comes into play, and I just question all of that because it's just, you know, finding a needle in a haystack or, you know, it's just.
Somebody
you're
here
fishing.
With a,
you're fishing. You're yeah. throwing it out there. You're hoping, you're seeing what sticks, and you're going off of that.
Yeah.
Right. So it's I just have a hard time.
I know, even with like the suicide thing, it's kind of like, I'm sure a lot of people here have, you know what I mean? Like someone we know, it's, I don't know. So that's where it's like the fishing thing kind of gets a little.
Yeah. Like I knew a kid in elementary school that committed suicide. In
elementary school?
Yeah. His name was, started with an R.
He committed suicide in elementary school?
He was in sixth or seventh grade.
That's middle grade. That's middle school.
Sixth or seventh. It might've been sixth.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
he must have really.
It was bad. It was bad.
Not supported at home.
Yeah, it was really, really bad. And his name started with an R. And so, like,
oh,
that.
Interesting.
But it's like that was however many years ago. You know, I'm in my 30s. Like, come on. Like, I'm not going that far back.
Yeah.
That's not coming up for you right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, were you even close to them? Yeah.
We're friends.
Right. You know what I mean? It's just one of those where it's like, and then I'm like, oh my God, maybe he met my friend Rachel or I was just not that she committed suicide, but you know what I'm saying, with the other stuff.
Right.
So it's just crazy. But yeah. but either way, regardless of whether that was real or not, obviously there was real connections with you with some of those things.
For sure.
But I do love his energy, and I love that
he's fantastic.
It is about projecting that kind of energy. I think we can all do that.
Yeah.
We all, you know, listen to your gut and read energy.
Yeah, I think that he's the perfect person for any kind of skeptic out there about that, because I am one of the world's biggest skeptics when it comes to that stuff, mm-hmm. where his energy, his philosophy just on life and positivity and optimism and just how to change your mindset, I think that can kind of convert any skeptic into believing to an extent.
Yeah.
Things with, because honestly, like, you know, people, I hear Jana talk about all the time with friends or their kids, like, oh, what sign are you? Or what sign?
Right.
And to me, that means nothing. And maybe that's something I should look more into and research more about Pisces or whatever. But just to me, I've never really correlated how people are with that.
Yeah. I mean, I agree to an extent. Like, some people are so into their signs where it's like, yes, I definitely have Sagittarius traits, but I also, you know, I don't like live and die by it, where I don't like, I, you know, and obviously he's very strong about it, to be able to keep his kid in the womb for longer. Right. But it's like, for me, I'm like, is it really like, you can still, you're not defined by just your trait, but I don't know, who knows? Some people get so crazy into stars and analogies. And
that's exactly where my issue is. Cause I feel like people read their sign, be like, all right, I'm a Sagittarius. That means I'm supposed to be this, 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 and this.
Right.
And so then they act according to what the sign tells them they're supposed to be like. And then it's like, you're not making your own personality. You're just going off of the stars. It's like, come on.
And that's when John talked about free will, mm-hmm. because I'm sure all of us in this room have friends who go to psychics, mm-hmm. who then say, well, the psychic told me this is going to happen, so I'm just going to wait until this happens.
Right.
And I always say to them, what are you doing living your life according to someone else, what they've told you?
Right.
Like, you have free will.
And I'm sorry, baby, you said you're a Pisces?
Yeah.
Okay, I just Googled it. A Pisces man in love. Every time this man falls in love, he will think that he found the love of his life. Ooh. With a certain relative view, this might actually be true for each one of his loves. Every relationship in his life is very different from the previous one, and each one represents an important lesson. Okay. Blah, 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 blah. It says right here, though, it says, Pisces man has the heart of a poet and the soul of a mystic.
What?
Ooh. See, tell me what that means.
Like, well, I'm just saying, like, that's not you.
Heart of a mystic?
Oh, okay, here's what we go. Like a slippery fish, the Pisces man is hard to pin down. There we go.
All right. So the one thing that relates me
to... He needs to protect his freedom before he'll commit to anything.
This is true.
That is very true. So I'm like listening. You have... dating a Pisces man can be quite the adventure. So I think it's... I think you definitely have some...
Right, but you could probably go through all signs, however many there are, and find certain traits of those that you have.
And I am a Gemini and a Cancer because I was born on the cusp.
Yeah.
And I do have some Gemini traits.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a ton of Cancer traits that are grounding and, you know, like I'm a homebody. Mm-hmm. I'm not a flake like most Geminis are. Or, you know, some people will say, well, Geminis are such... Like, they've, you know,
they're very selfish.
Right. And I'm not that person.
Yeah, you're not.
I'm
yeah.
more of a Cancer when it's like, I'm going to nurture you. I'm going to cook for you. I'm going to, you know.
Like, I'm calling total to this one. A Pisces man in love will give his entire self to his partner, swooning in the dance of two souls merging as one.
That sounds so much like me.
I'm just intimacy issues.
I'm the most intimate man in a relationship.
We have sex, we dance.
I was staring into Jana's eyes last night.
Everywhere.
I was trying to stare into Jana's eyes last night. She's like, stop, you're so uncomfortable. And I was like, no, look at me.
Yeah, that's never
the look
happened.
Of love.
Yeah,
ever.
Not, yeah,
you're just like, okay, bye, good night. That was fun. Sugar bear hair. So my girlfriend has like the best hair ever. And I asked her, I said, what do you use on your hair? And she's like, I take sugar bear hair. And I was like, that's really a thing. Cause I see the ads all the time on Facebook and Instagram, but apparently it's really a thing. And honestly, I've started taking them and the gummies are so yummy. It's as much vitamin A as 4 cups of broccoli, as much vitamin C as 1 cup of cranberries, and as much vitamin B12 as 4 organic eggs. So not only does it make your hair amazing, nails, I mean, everything. They taste like sweet, delicious candy made with the juice of real berries, but they contain everything you need for stronger and healthier hair. Go to sugarbearhair.com/Jana for beautiful hair and a healthier you. That's sugarbearhair.com/Jana. sugarbearhair.com/Jana.
Speaking of relationships, we have a bunch of emails here.
Do we? Let's read some.
And this one
which ones are the good ones?
This is from Kat. This is a complicated emotional situation that Kat's going through.
Yeah? Do you want to read it?
Yeah, I can read it. So my boyfriend and I are living separately. Hi, Jana and Jen. My boyfriend and I of 10 years and Mike. Sorry, I should have added that. Hi, Jana and Jen and Mike. My boyfriend and I of 10 years have recently decided that we want to live apart for a while, meaning I'm moving back into my parents' house and he's going to stay in the house that we've rented for the past 5 years or move into an apartment. The plan is to move back in together eventually. We do have 2 kids, both boys, 8 and 2. My boyfriend is 4 years younger than me and we are complete opposites, where I'm okay with staying in and he loves to go out and party. He was so quick to agree with us living separately, and even though we said we aren't breaking up and we are still going to be together, it just feels like it's the beginning of the end. What do you guys think, and how should I handle the situation?
I think your gut just told you the answer.
Yeah, trust your intuition, that inner voice never, ever steers you wrong.
Yeah, ever. And ever. If he's like a partier and was like, of course he wants to live separate. He's like,
yes. Yeah,
I'm going to be able to do my own thing. And it's
I won't have any rules.
Really? Do you want that? Like, it's like you guys have kids and I mean, no judgment, but it's like, I mean, if it works for you, like Carrie and Big have like their separate place, but like.
But the kids,
yeah.
Once they transition and adjust to living back at your parents' house, I'm just assuming the kids are going with you. I don't know why, but it's going to be, it's a really difficult transition to then pull them out and go back. You guys need to make a decision. You need to go to therapy and make a decision.
You do, because you're either, like, you either need to break up or honestly get married, because.
Yeah.
But this is not sounding lovely to me, Michael.
Getting married is not the answer.
Well, obviously, they would need to work through a ton of issues.
Either break up or get married, one or the other.
No, they clearly need to work through like a ton of issues.
Yeah, the only thing I could say is, you know, have to side with the girls, trust your gut, but communicate, have a conversation, be like, what is it about the topic of living separately? Like, you know, what are you looking to get out of it? Meaning ask him.
Yeah.
What are you looking to get out of
what? Party house.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, honestly, that's, you know, for me, you know, we've talked about this. Like, you always crack jokes that I love when you go out of town now and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I tell Jana, I'm like, yeah, it's cool for like 24 hours. And I'm like, right. All right, this sucks. And yeah, sometimes guys, we just need like that free space to like just do.
Man, what, cave time.
Yeah, whatever it may be. But be lazy, to, like, be dirty. Out. No, not to move out. So this seems a little extreme for that.
Yeah, if you told me you wanted to move out, I'd be like, please sign here on this piece of paper.
Right.
Exactly. And you need to be ready for the answers that you don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Because he needs to be honest with you and you might not like what he has to say.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound like, it sounds like he's still in his like party years and he doesn't seem like a very like grown up.
Really, especially if he wants to go out and party that much and he got an 8 and a 2-year-old. Yeah, like, come on, dude.
Come on.
Like, time to button it up a little bit.
Not cool.
Stop hanging out with Scott Disick. Okay.
Yeah. Time to grow up. Find find a man.
Yes. Find a man.
Who's on the same page as you.
I will say, yeah. I mean, granted, Michael is younger than me, but.
Well, no, just someone who is wants to live in the same way.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. You know,
like go to bed before midnight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean. Anything after 10, I'm like, oh,
shoot. I'm like 8:30.
Yeah, no, we're in bed by 8:30.
We put Jolie down at like 8, 8:01. We're in bed.
Yeah.
Teeth brushed, ready to go.
Retainers in.
Yeah. Good honey. So romantic at the Costin household.
Oh my God, by the way. Visual, by the way.
Well,
great.
Look at this visual too. I was like, okay, maybe I'll like slip into like some lingerie. And so like, you know, I was like feeling myself, put some lingerie on, but then it was like a, it was a tube top basically. So I was, or it was like, it was, no, it was like one of those midriff tops. I was like, this is not sexy. I'm like, my belly is like poking out. My lingerie is like hits the top of my belly button. I'm like, yep. Time to go to Target and get some moo-moos.
Some moo-moos. You look amazing.
Thanks.
You look beautiful.
Any more of that sound good? Well, I will say this. I want you guys to email us whatever you want us to answer. I mean, from sex to relationships to anxiety to, I mean, like literally whatever. It could be, why is the sky blue? I don't know why. But
kid stuff, mom stuff.
Anything.
Money.
Yeah. Money. Whatever. Jana Kramer. At iHeartMedia.com, and we will answer emails and get some, you know, some legit people to help answer them as well. Jen, do you brush your teeth?
Probably about 3 or 4 times a day.
Oh, you really do?
Yeah.
I'm lucky if I get one. But have you ever tried Quip?
I haven't, but I, you know what? I was thinking this weekend as I was stuffing my toothbrush into my little carry-on case.
Don't have to do that with Quip.
Right.
They've got a really, it's reasonable. It's not like too, it's not bulky. And it's got a really cool cover case that actually is not only a case, but it's, you can stick it on your mirror.
I love that because it's just, so gross if you don't have your toothbrush holder. That's what happened to me this weekend. I just stuck it in my bag.
I usually throw my toothbrush in like a makeup bag and then I have like bronzer on my makeup and I'm on my toothbrush and then I'm like, ugh. Finger, here it comes. But with Quip, you don't need that because, again, it's really cute. It's rose gold. Oprah loves it. It was on her O list. So I love anything that Oprah does. Quip subscription plans are for your health, not just convenience. They deliver new brush heads on a dentist recommended schedule every 3 months. So every 3 months, you need a new head. Just $5, including free shipping worldwide. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/Jana right now. You'll get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free at getquip.com/Jana. GETQUIP.com/Jana. I don't like the term quickie. That's a funny one from Ashley.
Oh, let's do that.
Whenever my boyfriend is in the mood to have sex, he just goes for it. And then when he finishes, it all stops. I don't like the term quickie because to him, it means he doesn't need to worry about my needs. Ooh. He can just finish and be done with it. But I also don't like when it lasts forever. When I brought it up to him, his response was to tell me how silly I was. He is really good to me. I just don't think he understands that penetration isn't as enjoyable for me as it is for him. I am taking antidepressants, and they seem to be really lowering my sex drive. I want us to both enjoy it, but I just don't know how. I definitely think it's insensitive, and I feel like men do this a lot where they don't. They don't get the needs of the woman, and they roll off. And why are you smirking over it?
They don't
tread lightly here, Jana Ray.
No, so, but I'm just saying, like you, like it's not like. I just feel like
the ratio is skewed.
It's so not fair. Why is it like? Why is it okay that you guys just are like, okay, good night, and I'm like, whoa, why haven't you finished me?
But I think not all men are like that.
Not all,
and.
My husband. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding.
Hey, we all have our nights.
So here's my like bottom line advice. She brought it up to him.
Yeah.
He pushed it back, projected it back onto her, how silly she is.
Yeah, that's rude.
I would say bring it up one more time. Express your needs. Mm-hmm. And maybe there's some other issues in the relationship.
In a calm, non-accusing way.
Right.
Guys will be very
defensive
about that.
Right.
Yeah, because that's
think they're not good in bed.
Yeah, that's very vulnerable, and that's a very, very intimate thing for a guy to, yeah, that can kill confidence in a guy. So, but, that's tough where it's like, oh, I don't want to quickie, but I don't want him to take too long.
Well, forever is kind of like, okay.
Yeah, it sucks for us too. We get tired. Cramped, hamstring cramps, butt starts tightening up, arms are tired.
Well, she's also on antidepressants and they're lowering her sex drive,
which can
be very frustrating too.
I was on Zoloft for like 3 years and didn't have one orgasm the entire time. So
that's,
I get it. That sucks.
Just sucks.
So maybe try switching antidepressants.
Yeah, you can talk to your psychiatrist and maybe try different dosage levels switching.
I'm on Lexapro and I love it personally. So.
All in all, talk to him about it. Validate him. Don't say it's about him. Just say, hey, I love having sex with you. I love our sex life. I would just, you know, for me, I'd really love for my needs to be met a little bit more, but I just, you know.
Hey, babe, I love you. I love you. I just wish my needs were met a little bit more.
You got it, honey.
Okay.
Or add some toys to your game. Do something.
Get it, Jen.
Bring it.
All right, so please, we really, really, really want to answer your emails. JanaKramer@iHeartMedia.com. And we cannot wait to wind down with you again next Monday.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.